Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you wouldn't think stone is something that needs conservation, yet this kind of work goes on all the time. Julia Gable, originally from Munich, is a stonemason who, along with other projects, has worked on conserving Cormac's Chapel on the Rock of Cashel. Julia, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How did you first get interested in stone?
Went back to my childhood, really. I used to do a lot of rock climbing with my brother. I started with him when I was about 12, and that intensified in over 10 years.
Yeah.
I grew up in a natural park or close to it. So that was my first introduction to stone. And then I knew I was quite creative. So after school, it was either study stone conservation or go into the trade, and that's what it was. Then it was the trade, and the studying came afterwards. Then,
how long does it take to train to be a stonemason?
In Germany, it takes 3 years. To do the apprenticeship here, it takes 4 years. And then I did a master craftsman's diploma that's from 1 to 2 years as well. So you get, you know, but it's, people say it takes about 10 years to learn your trade, so...
Okay, right. 10 years to learn the trade, and on conservation projects, are you brought in when they know what they need to fix, or do you go in initially and tell people what needs to be fixed?
Very good. You really hit the core of the issue there. It kind of works both ways. Unfortunately, the whole conservation industry is not entirely clearly set out as of yet. Generally the architects and the design team would be in first, and they would specify what needs to be done. But very often it then turns out to be either the scope would change, or, you know, the methodology would need to be adjusted. And that's generally something where our expertise would be required then to hone in on what's actually needed.
Okay, and so when the architects look at a structure initially, they have been brought in because it's maybe in danger of collapsing or something like that, I assume.
It could be a structural issue. It could be an aesthetic issue. The conservation works in normal buildings, they would be only kind of a side issue of a complete refurbishment job. So obviously the architects would be involved in the complete redesign of the buildings then. And it's only a part of the project would be in terms of conservation, unless it is really a historic or an archaeological structure, really, where the conservation works would take priority then.
Well, and say Cormac's Church, how old is that?
Cormac's Chapel is one of those very specialised buildings. It was built in the early 12th century, so it was finished in 1137. And that really is an archaeological artefact, if you wanted to classify it in, or kind of categorise it in, the conservation spectrum.
Yeah, and what needed to be fixed on Cormac's Chapel?
Yeah, Cormac's Chapel is built from sandstone, quite local sandstone too, Tipperary, only a couple of miles out the road. That's where it was originally sourced. So you can imagine the sandstone is like a sponge. It takes up a lot of water. And because there's this amazing fresco inside of the chapel, that was created for the arrival of Henry II for a visit to the chapel in 1172, if I'm not mistaken. The fact that the building fabric was so saturated with moisture was an issue for the conservation of the frescoes, and that kind of kick-started then the conservation of the whole chapel. And then a couple of really brave decisions were taken by OPW architects as regards the approach of the conservation methodology, and then it was conserved up until 2016, I believe. The roof was taken off and rebedded and consolidated, and now an internal climate system was installed to regulate the humidity level. So all of this is quite high spec and outstanding project.
I imagine it must be extremely delicate work.
Yeah, now this was mostly masonry work, so it was not much stone cutting, not much detail cutting, but in terms of the accuracy and in terms of the documentation, because it is every stone has a huge historical value, and that's what really the work was there.
Yeah.
So there were 1,478 roof stones, I believe, in around that number, and all of them had to be labeled, numbered, taken off, and put back into the same place that they came out of. So that was quite a.
And presumably every now and again a stone has to be replaced.
Yes. So there were three categories. I was doing my thesis on Cormac Chapel for a postgraduate degree, and I was fortunate enough to be in charge of the documentation there. So we had three classifications. One was a sound stone, one was minor repairs, and one was full replacement. So a couple of the stones had to be replaced because they were so degraded, but most stones were repaired then or left as they were.
Yeah, and so when you have to replace a stone, is it difficult? Well, if it's built with local stone, then you can source the stone locally. But will it always look different because it's newer than a structure that's been standing there for 800 or 900 years?
Yeah, that is certainly an issue. But it's one of those compromises in conservation. What the OPW architects have aimed for was to take a stone that was geologically identical or as close to identical match as possible. And that's generally, that was the right approach to take, because the porosity would be relatively similar to the original stone. It would weather similarly. But you're right, absolutely. It stands out for a while until it kind of develops its own patina, and then it merges. Yeah.
And would you cut the stone in the same way as the other stones were cut?
Yeah, we're very close to it. For the fact that, you know, the 900 years between us, we still used, for the finishes, we used exactly the same tools that were used back then. For quarrying and for cutting dimension stone, we now obviously have larger, you know, electric tools or big machines, big saws that would help to cut the rough material.
Yeah, but you're kind of following what they're doing as closely as you can, even though you might be using some modern tools.
100%. That's the imperative. In conservation, we have something like a like-for-like principle. So you would replace what you take out. If it needs replacement, then you replace it with something as similar, as close to as possible. And I think that's not always interpreted that way, but I think the tooling and the craftsmanship that was initially applied is part of the like-for-like repair. So that is a conservation standard, yeah.
Yeah. Is Ireland particularly rich in these old medieval structures?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm pretty sure, you know, this is this is part of your tourism attraction, or you know, your identity, your cultural backbone, really, are the tower houses and the round towers in the countryside. And there's so many of those still standing unaltered. You know, it's really phenomenal to think that we can look at those buildings as they were left 400, 500, 600 years ago. It's astonishing.
And as far as you can tell, on mainland Europe, in Germany, where you're originally from, would there be as many buildings of that nature? Or
a lot of them would have been much more modified. So they would have kind of been brought from one era into the next. So, you know, the church, for example, now, and that happened to many churches, Romanesque churches would have been then barocicized, and you know, you would be barely able to see the original structure underneath it anymore. So, and the same applies to more secular structures like castles. They would have been modernized throughout the centuries, but here you can literally see into the bones of the medieval Gothic structures. It's very...
Yeah. And you set up a company where you kind of do this work full time now. Where in the country are you based?
We're in the capital down here in Cork. So
you're in Cork, yeah.
Yes.
Because some of the listeners, Julia, couldn't decide whether you had a Cork accent or a Tipperary accent. So,
Oh, yeah, I suppose. No, I can't switch it off. My children tell me that I have a funny accent and I can't pin it down.
No, it's an absolutely, it's actually an adorable accent, if you don't mind me saying so. Julia, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Julia Gable there, a stonecutter based in Cork. And Julia is featured as part of the RTÉ documentary series Masters, Keepers of Tradition, that you can watch on the RTÉ player. Yes, a lot of people saying how much they enjoy that accent there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.